The Dave Damaschek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Damaschek.
Hi and hello, football fans. The fun's already begun. We haven't waited for you. Welcome to not Studio 66. Rather, my home. Is that what we settled on for my den?
And I love what you've done with the decoration for Halloween.
I'm a festive guy. I'm a festive fella.
Sure. Yeah,
and
you are.
Welcome to the Dave Damaschek football program. In advance of NFL Week 9, it's Red Challenge Flag Picks time. Those are coming up. The biggest games awaiting your eyeballs and earballs. Seated alongside with me. Before I get to that, though, let me remind you that we are presented, as always, by the good pals we have over at Zaxby's, home of the famous chicken, fingers, wings, and salads. We're off to a flying start. It's because right before we got going, the man to my immediate left declared that he didn't want to hear anything about the barn burner in Heinz Field.
That's not what I said. I just said, we're not talking about the Steelers today, are we?
Well, I thought that was an interesting game.
They're kind of irrelevant at this point. I don't know why we would need to.
I'm kind of done with that.
Well, I mean, if that's the case.
Struggle with the Dolphins.
Well, three wins. You know who one of those three wins came against? The Chargers.
It did.
We could talk about that team as well.
I didn't. Hey, straw man argument, man. I didn't bring that up. I just said we're not talking about the Steelers, right?
That's the all. Matt Money Smith, both of those teams in the mediocre AFC, as I will keep saying, until they are statistically and otherwise eliminated, are, in fact, in contention now.
The Browns and Steelers.
No, the Chargers and Steelers. Oh. And the Chargers, not the Browns, it's too far now, but legitimately.
You think so? With their remaining schedule?
No. The Chargers?
The Browns.
I mean, listen, they, again.
This is now the tipping point in their season where the schedule gets ridiculously easy.
I get it, but also they have no wiggle room left.
Right.
And there are too many teams ahead of them. They have to vault. They are now depending on at least a half dozen teams falling in the standings. That's too many teams to mathematically
catch up.
And Baker
Mayfield walked away from the lectern today. He didn't like a question. He got all pouty and walked off. So
I like that Freddie says that Bake is still improving. I'd like the question to go the other way. Hey, Bake, how you feeling about Freddie this year? Is he serving you guys well?
No.
By the way, Odell Beckham. Do you remember Odell Beckham?
Never heard of him.
To the month. It's the five-year anniversary as they reunite the Cowboys visiting New Jersey to play the Giants. That was a Sunday night football game, like I say, 5 years ago. He made that one-handed catch that you probably have seen a replay of once or three times.
I've seen it, yep.
Yeah, you know that catch. 5 years later, this guy who was destined to be the greatest of all time and so on and so forth is completely irrelevant in the NFL in 2019. How
pretty
say
weird,
you?
Right?
Yes.
It is. I mean, I would assume it's a product of a poor offensive line, maybe mismanaged play calling, and just kind of everything going wrong for the Browns. You know how it is in football. It's the one sport where one little thing, it's why you always do your Jenga piece conversation, one thing sets the whole thing adrift and amiss, and the best laid plans just go to crap, and that's what's happening.
Did the Browns have the one thing?
Well, I think we all said the O-line. I mean, were the two big questions. O-line, head coach. There's never been a head coach. And those two things have been a disaster. And they were like, yeah, skill players look good. Defensive line looks good. I kind of like what Baker Mayfield did. But, yeah, I don't know, that O-line and that coach, that might be a big deal. And, yeah, it's been a big deal.
So, but that being said, you think the Browns are going to make a second-half push here?
I just think this is the easy part of their schedule. And it's a pretty – I don't have it in front of me, but it's a pretty lengthy – kind of run here where they have, you know, sub 500 teams with one or two wins, and they get, you know, like about a month of that. So next thing you know, they're a game over 500 and they still have all those divisional games to play. Who knows? They've already beat the Ravens once.
Yeah, true enough that is their puncher's chance in my book, is that they can rally in a crummy division. The Ravens, you would think, are going to lose this weekend, but maybe not. Some people will get to that in the Red Challenge Flag picks as the Ravens host those undefeated Patriots. Much to get into here.
Yes.
We're hearing their voices. Let's greet them properly, shall we? He is the voice of the Los Angeles Chargers. That's why we mentioned the Chargers. As you know, he is the host of NFL Now on NFL Network and one half of the finest radio show in all the land, Petros and Money. It's Matt Money Smith.
Thank you. Great to be here, fresh off a trip to Chicago.
Did you have fun back in the homeland?
I did. I had a chance to reconnect. You know, I don't get to see my family a whole lot, but they're all back there, a couple brothers, bunch of nephews. So we all managed to get out in the city. Was hoping to see some, you know, scout some U6 soccer in the Northwest Indiana area. Unfortunately, yep. The weather did not cooperate. So what did I do? I went to a brewery, because why not? That's what you do for lunch. And enjoyed, it's funny though, you know, we booked I tell people, because you know me, I'm always ahead of the curve. I mean, I just always have been a trendsetter.
Renaissance, yeah. Man. Exactly. We said it before.
When I was in high school in 16, I got a job at a place called Chicken Ole, which was on Adams, just like two blocks off of Michigan. Michigan's kind of the main stretch through mm-hmm. the loop of Chicago and this place. And
what did you do that money?
So I drove a food truck. Oh. They had a little, it was like a little Chevy S10 pickup with a heating element on the back that I would throw. They would make a bunch of burritos, and I would go to the Board of Trade or the Merchandise Mart. I would have to pick my spot, and if I sold, I got paid like, I don't know, $20, I think. If I sold out the first, I would call them from a payphone and say, hey, cook me up another batch, it's going well today, and then I would get 50% of the profits from the Ooh. Second. So it was literally fist fights would break out over these spots at the Board of Trade, and our Chargers Hotel was the JW, which is right around the corner from where I would fight for this spot in this alley outside the main entrance, and I just kind of stood there and took it all in, you know, my 16-year-old self remembering. Yes, look where I am now from selling burritos.
Let me tell you something. It is legitimately possible that an early 20s Damashek bought a burrito from 16-year-old Matt Money Smith, because that's exactly where I work,
so you
right
know,
there.
Yeah.
And I remember that the scrums for the food that would be sold
the
out
there.
The
fights that would happen over
placement. Great to hear these memories from the early 60s.
You like those?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the what?
I was back in London town getting bucked by a ram in the bottom.
I was long before being born when all of this stuff was happening. It was black and white. It was black and white with you guys.
That's right. Yeah. Life itself was in black and white.
Everything was in black and white.
Sure was. Van Money. Halen, man. That's what we were doing back then.
But it was fun for you.
Yes.
Did you have any pangs of loyalty for your boyhood team?
Your family
went
to the game.
You didn't see all the navy and orange and everything and think like that?
You know, I had already called two games at Soldier when I was doing it nationally for Compass Media. So I think that kind of had already taken place. You know, like, wow, I'm actually at Soldier Field calling a football game. So that was cool. But it was funny. My old man is a pretty simple guy, you know, and he left me this voicemail, or he called me after the game. So we had a bunch of people there, my brothers. I think we had like 10 people there that were family. And he calls me and, how you doing, Dad? I'm all right, Maddie. Listen, I gotta tell you something. You know, I was sitting in that seat, and they were sitting right there. That's basically that. My parents were 250,
for
so you can probably see them in that
goal
shot.
In the background,
for the final
right.
field goal. And he says, when that kick was in the air, I was pulling for you. I wanted you to go home with that win. Nobody around me wanted that to happen, but inside my heart, I found it happened to me. I was like, I hope this misses for Maddie. I was like, hey, thanks, Dad. Nice. I really appreciate it. It was very nice of you, Dad. So I managed to flip a guy who wrapped me in like a Walter Payton jersey when
See,
I was born.
See, that's very sweet, and this is why it's so diabolical that you would ever try to convince Jean-Claude Van Damashek to not be a Steelers
fan. That's exactly
we don't
what
want
he
those
would
kind
do
of...
because he's trying to make up for the ones that he's right. already flipped from the best.
Let's just all root for the same team under the same roof.
That
and
makes
we don't
no
have
sense,
any of
though.
Those issues.
He has no connection to Pittsburgh.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
He owns his own terrible town. Now let's say hello to the resident Miami Dolphins fan in our midst, all the way from London,
nervous.
England. Oh, he was very excited for 30 minutes, or for 27
no,
and a half.
No, I was very nervous.
Very nervous.
I didn't want that to happen. I was enjoying.
Oh, it's a double-digit deficit for my Dolphins. Phew.
Yeah.
Here he is, everybody. It's Handsome Hank. How are you, Handsome?
I'm good, thank you, Dave. It's wonderful to be here as always.
What a pleasure to see you once again. We have to get to the food block presented by Bon and Viv, Spike Seltzer. Mm. We'll do that in just a bit. Happy Halloween to you. Perhaps we can address some candy or something like that.
Seems to be what the people are doing.
Yeah, let's talk about football, though, and dig in first of all with the main course. It's time for Fresh Takes, presented by the aforementioned pals over at Zaxby's, again, home of the famous chicken fingers, wings, and salad.
Now I
feel compelled
that.
To do it
again.
A third time towards the end of the show, but we're not going to do it now. First thing is this. Patrick Mahomes, at the time of this recording, Andy Reid said that they expect Patrick Mahomes to do a little bit more than what he did in practice previously over the last week and a half. Where do you come down? I have the correct answer for this, but I want to give you your opportunity first. Handsome Hank, where do you come down on the urgency of Patrick Mahomes playing on Sunday against the Vikings?
Can I make this about me for a
second?
You
can, sure, please.
So I actually have had the exact same injury. My kneecap dislocates, and once it does, it happens very easily. So it has happened to me 8 times. Number one, it's excruciatingly painful.
For you?
For me, not for Patrick Mahomes, because he's a tough guy,
he's
and
just
I'm definitely
around.
Not. Number two, it is more liable to happen again once it's happened once. So while, yes, I'm as eager as everyone else is to see Patrick Mahomes, the NFL's newest, brightest star, back on the field, I would strongly advise against doing that because I'd like him to be around and playing at the high level that we expect of him for a
well,
long time.
Well, if you're a veteran of this injury,
yeah.
then perhaps you can explain to us. First of all, is how tied in is it? By what is it? Ligaments? Tendons?
Yeah, yeah. So you stretch your ligaments.
Yeah, the ligaments are either side of it. And so you have it's essentially stretched the ligament, so then it's easier for it to go. I once did it. I had several operations to fix it, and it always involved reconnecting the ligaments. But there was one time where I didn't, and it happened to me a month later playing sport because it hadn't been tightened up.
Can you not play like knee football anymore or whatever?
Knee
if somebody
football,
took
is that
the
a game?
Sure. My kids in stateside play a lot of knee football in
knee
their
football.
Home, right? You never played any knee football with your brothers? No, not in the hallway.
Oh, on your knees.
Yeah, play
oh, okay,
football
I got
on
you.
Your knees, right?
I was thinking he was talking sports, so I was thinking soccer.
No, it's the great equalizer to play knee football
right.
because you can play it with different age
in a tight
kids.
Quarters, yeah.
Right, right. And you're right. You don't need as much rib. Right. What would happen? Can you just take the kneecap out, I wonder? Could humans
I don't know.
Would get
I
have, by
they put
right?
a they drilled a screw into my kneecap so that it wouldn't move anymore.
Okay.
And at that point, I was
like
okay,
that would
I don't,
be a good fix.
Yeah, that does fix it, but it also sort
also
of
seems
ends,
like it hurt a little bit.
Yeah, it hurts a bit, and it also ends your chance of doing that kind of thing. It also feels like when you are kneeling, talking specifically about knee football, it feels like you're kneeling on a Lego piece or a coin. Or something
very
like that.
Comfortable.
Yeah, so that's not comfortable.
And so time fixes this is the answer. So you say wait.
I would say make sure it's better. I'd rather see Patrick Mahomes. I think where you're going with this, and you're exactly right, is that the Chiefs are looking to solidify a home field advantage during the playoffs. That's what every team is looking for. And the longer they go, especially given that they're playing the Vikings this week and they've got some other tough games coming up, the longer they go without him playing, the more likely they're going to be behind and playing catch up when he does come back.
Well, that's right. And as far as that goes, I think that it's easy. Fans get pretty cavalier about the physical pain that their heroes yeah. are experiencing. Get Mahomes back out there. But I feel like the Chiefs, Andy Reid on down, and the fan base kind of has a glib attitude about it. Like, let him rest. We're in good shape in this division this year. Yeah. But I think money, the Chargers, you know as well as anybody, they always make a second half push. The Raiders are kind of there, but it's not the division. They will win the division just about almost as certain as the Patriots are to win their division. I think the Chiefs are going to get theirs.
I agree with that.
But as you say, Handsome, look through the last decade. You must have one of those two byes almost exclusively. The teams that get to the Super Bowl from either side have that first round bye. If you as these Chiefs are constituted, you add an extra 60 minutes against a playoff caliber team, one of those teams will get them. They will not get to the Super Bowl if they have 3 games, 2 of which presumably would be played on the road.
I think this will be the big week where let's just say it works out. I don't suspect he'll play against the Vikings this week. Let's say they lose to the Vikings and somehow the Chargers beat the Packers. And now you have that meeting in 2 weeks against, you know, one another on Monday Night Football. I think that
In
Mexico City. I think that could go a long way if it's a 5-5 Charger team coming in, if they are able to come all the way back, beat the Packers, beat the Raiders. And that's the only, I think, window where I could see them trying to rush him back. Otherwise, look, Matt Moore played well.
Yeah.
You know, Matt Moore was not bad at all.
He was not the problem.
It was that defense.
And even that, well, you're playing against Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. I don't see any reason. I mean, as Hank pointed out, I never dislocated my kneecap. I mean, I'd like to think my experience with dislocation, lethal weapon, you know, Riggs, whenever that shoulder came out,
just bang it right in. Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're Mahomes, the thing pops out, you just crack it against the bench or something.
Yeah.
It just goes right through the screen. You know, but then you go out and really, you know, kick some tail, because that's what Riggs did.
Who needs all these doctors on Twitter that tell us when we've got this kind
of
insight?
Throw on Joel Silver's Lethal
Riggs
Weapon,
gets
man.
The headlines in Tough Guy Times or whatever magazine covers that sort of thing.
Don't be the contrarian. Don't do it. Don't come.
I'm not doubting. Obviously, he's the one who fought Busey at the end, while his colleagues, his peers, stood by and watched him nearly get drowned to death. It's like, all right, they wanted to have the fist fight. But once Busey literally is just about to take his life, doesn't somebody step in and say, like, we shouldn't let the bad guy actually kill Riggs?
It's code.
Just let it go.
Yeah.
Let him get it. No, let it go.
Yep.
He'll never forgive us.
He's going to fight for himself.
He'll never forgive us.
The only thing I'll say on Murtaugh's behalf is that he has the better catchphrase. When somebody challenges him, challenges his manhood or otherwise, what does Murtaugh tell him to do? Go spit.
Go spit.
I got to employ that. I want to use that in my lexicon. I got to start working that in. So I think that the Chiefs, listen, if he's going to do long-term damage, I don't know. But I do think that this is a dangerous spot. And by the way, the Chiefs have already lost. How many teams, I would love to know the statistic. Obviously, I wouldn't know it off the top of my head. How many teams that get to a Super Bowl lose as many as 3 home games over the course of the season? Now the Chiefs might lose 4 in a row. And the idea that he kind of shot it out, Matt Moore, with Aaron Rodgers a week ago, they're going to have Dalvin Cook. What Aaron Jones did is what Dalvin Cook's going to do.
But they also have
not to fast forward to where, but I don't think that the Chiefs are going to win this week. But I do wonder, when it comes to a healthy Patrick Mahomes, and assuming they continue to lead the division, even if they're playing on the road, is the Chiefs a team that is kind of the way they're built? Actually, might be better off playing in a dome, let's say in Houston, than they would be in their home stadium in January anyway. I don't know that it hurts.
Boy, that's an interesting point.
How they're constituted. I get the whole
think about the Colts game and
people cheering
way that
for you or booing for you. Exactly. Right. There's proof that when they played here in LA last year during that 50 plus points, maybe they like the warm indoor even track. All of those things.
So you just resign yourself that you're going to Foxborough.
Well, you probably are.
For the championship.
You probably are.
If you make it to the championship,
that's where
you're
going. You've got a long road to catch up with them.
Well, let's, as we transition then into the other thing I wanted to talk about in Fresh Takes is what those Ravens are doing. And a lot of people think that the Ravens might have their number. And it is a weird paradox that everybody talks about. I'm going to talk about the Steelers tangentially right now.
Of course you are.
Everybody says the Steelers and Ravens it's a compelling rivalry because they're mirror images of each other. It's bizarre then that for the entire millennium, the Ravens can play with the Patriots and the Steelers get wiped out by them every time. That's a weird thing. But speaking of what Lamar Jackson and company are doing, nay, what's happening league-wide or with a lot of teams that are succeeding is this retro kind of offense, the jet sweep. I love it, too. I
love
pine for it since
that fourth and two with an extra offensive lineman and 3 tight ends and no running back and Lamar Jackson. And you know what's going to happen. So let's go.
There is nothing
better in football than you know it's coming.
Stop
We're bringing it, and we challenge you to stop it. And either you will or you won't. It was so great. It was my favorite play of the season from any team.
I'm with you completely. I love the direct snap to runners. I love the Niners handing the ball off intentionally and repeatedly to their tight end. These are interesting times, but it makes me vaguely sad for Cam Newton because if anybody deserves to be playing in the 2019 year that's breaking this way and, kind of offenses that are willing to do things that aren't down the middle, conventional, West Coast, kind of offense. Cam Newton, especially after getting to that Super Bowl, throwing it to Philly Brown and Ted Ginn, now finally Curtis Samuel and Christian McCaffrey and DJ Moore, he would be at his best. He would be, there's no human being I can imagine better to do that style of offense than one Cam Newton.
Yeah, I mean, just because he's so durable.
Yeah, is he?
You know what I'm saying. If he were in the infancy of his career, before
in theory,
taking
he's
all these
so durable,
hits.
But yeah. In fact, at this point, do we want him
right.
to be doing that?
I mean, it's 10 years of taking the hits that we hope Lamar Jackson doesn't take.
Right.
Look, it's something I've never quite understood. It applies to the NFL and it applies to college football. Like, I just don't get why teams that are the dregs of their respective conferences and have been for an extended period of time. You know, the Vanderbilts, the, you know, Oregon State had a nice run there with Mike Riley, but the Oregon State's like, why wouldn't you do this? You're not going to win the recruits anyway. You're going to have to play with, you know, 2- and 3-star guys, and they're playing with 4- and 5-star guys at Washington and USC. So why not run the triple option?
You're
why
exactly
not get
right.
out there and make them plan for that week? And I love what the Ravens did. Hey, we've got a weapon that we believe no one can contend with, so let's go. And it's working right now.
Credit to Harbaugh for really diving in.
Yeah,
fully.
And Ossie as well. Like, I mean, right. I know he's not there anymore, but you know.
And
what
then
I mean.
Greg Roman does that. He probably yep. is your assistant coach of the year at this point if they handed that award out now.
If it keeps
now.
Going, yeah.
And as he's far as that goes, makes me think, Paul Johnson.
At Georgia Tech?
Did it at Navy.
At Navy and then
Georgia
Tech.
Then he made some hay at Georgia Tech.
But that's what I mean. He actually took it to the ACC like, hey, here I am at Georgia Tech with these great wide receivers like Calvin Johnson. And guess what? All we need is one guy and that threat to take the top off. But we're coming. Dave Wanstead, I think I've told this story, tells a great story when he was at Pitt, that when they would have Georgia Tech week, he would go into the hockey shed and get hockey pads because he had to get his defensive lineman to understand, hey, you're going to get cut, and you're going to get cut from the first snap to the last snap, and it drives defensive linemen crazy when that happens. So,
well,
again, I love it. I love watching it.
And the other thing is, just to wrap this up before giving away our answers for Ravens-Patriots, it's a moot point whether the Ravens win that one or not. Not in terms of the AFC North. That would be a massive victory, obviously, and probably almost clinch it for them. But the Patriots are, don't get yourself worked up into a lather hoping that the Patriots are somehow not going to be the number one seed. Look through their schedule. Even if they lose this game, there are a total of 3 losses possible left out there. They're not going to lose more than 3 games. That's going to be enough for them to hold on and win the AFC. All right, so thus ends Fresh Takes presented by Zaxby's. Now let's get to the food block presented by Bon Viv Spike Seltzer. Ooh. It's Halloween. Your girls are all done. They've all they're all past the age of costuming money.
My youngest is she's 12, so kind of borderline. She's still planning on going out with some friends. But she's, you know, before you'd be like, you'd be dead tired from walking the neighborhood and they'd want to walk it again, you know. So now she's at the point where she'll go do a lap and that's that. She's
and do good. You support that as a parent morally and ethically, that when you're in that gray zone, you know, middle school kind of age, that I remember a kid in my neighborhood, he once put on a pirate hat and then just his regular clothes. He didn't
right.
even change his
Let's
clothes.
Go.
And then he went out and collected candy. I found it despicable. Yeah. How say you?
As someone who did it, you know, I would just go in the old garage there or wherever, throw on a tool belt, you know, put a pencil behind the ear and get after it on my BMX
bike.
Candy. It's like, whatever, let's go.
Outrageous.
I mean, what is going to happen? So, okay, so if I don't do that, you know, the house is going to end up with, whatever, an extra 20 Hershey's miniatures instead of dropping a couple of them in my bag. What the heck? Come on, let's go.
Well, and then I'd rather give it all out. Some sweet treats, then you get egged. I'm going to make a prediction here. Among the four of us, Eddie Spaghetti included, I'm going to put it at the number of people here who've egged somebody's house on Devil's Eve. I already have some inside information. What's your guess?
Of the four of us?
Of the four of us.
I'd guess 3.
Hank 3 have thrown an egg
hasn't.
At a home.
Yeah.
Someone else's home.
Yeah.
What's your guess, Handsome?
I'd say 2.
Okay. Spaghetti?
1.
One person has thrown an egg in another person's house. Okay, now that's more information. I'm going to say that the correct answer is 1 because I, as I understand it, Englishmen don't do the
that's egging. What I figured.
They don't do Devil's Eve.
Not happening.
Eddie Spaghetti wouldn't have said 1. Because he has
him.
To assume
right.
that
well,
money
see, you
did
had the benefit,
it.
Correct.
Yeah. Because I said
3.
I'm
Jewish. People like me don't do that. We don't. Nobody invites me out.
Why
for,
did you not do it?
Nobody invites me out for. Hey, we're gonna go egg some houses. Like they don't.
Yeah, let's
call
not take him
me.
With us.
Nobody Jeez. Wants me for that. Eddie Spaghetti would have said 2, including himself. But that's telling that he didn't. You didn't do it. The answer is 1.
Yeah.
Spaghetti, have you done it?
No, I have not.
Handsome?
No.
I haven't?
I once threw an egg at a guy on a motorbike from, like, my parents' house.
Did you hit him?
Just for fun, and I hit him.
Nice.
It was the worst, and I got in so much trouble, and I was
Did
like,
he
I'm
know
never
it was
throwing
you?
An egg. Yes.
Did he turn back around?
I was the 6-year-old snot-nosed kid that was standing there
well
like,
done.
Yeah, I got him. Oh, he stopped.
They hurt.
Yeah.
They will. It is not a good feeling when you're moving at a high rate of speed taking an egg. I know I've taken an egg.
I have too.
Throw an egg at you.
Yes. Just was random kids. I mean, everybody threw eggs. Yeah. I had my old man's pickup truck on an All Hallows Eve with a tomato from Warren Hertz roof. And we were getting rid of all the eggs and food we had left over. Yeah. It was like 10, 11 at night, and he was coming home from work in his work truck.
You got your own dad.
I had no idea it was him. Oh, you know, no. It was kind of a busy State Line Avenue, and I just freaking lobbed this tomato. Poof! And get home, and you know, the old man's sitting there.
You're not watching the Bears game this Sunday, Matt.
Oh, he didn't know it was me.
You didn't know.
Somebody threw a tomato from the Hertz roof. It's like, how about that, huh?
That wasn't very nice, Dad.
I caught my candy here, Dad.
I was a freshman year in Bloomington, Indiana, just walking down the street, and it's weird how your level finds you. You know, your level in the world finds you. Why would an egg hit me randomly at high speed? So somebody driving by, and it just hit me right in the hip. Boy, it hurt almost as much as when Patrick Mahomes hit me with that muffin.
With that muffin.
in Houston, Texas a couple of years ago. Anywho, Handsome, what are the little ones going out as from your house?
My daughter is going as something called a steampunk princess.
Oh, steampunk action.
Yeah, so I'm also going as a steampunk prince. I've told her, I don't know what that is.
Oh, please get photos.
But she,
I also text the missus if I have to.
I have a gorilla mask that I like to wear.
You're really doing the steampunk thing? Like monocle?
I don't know. I mean, she wants to be a steampunk princess, so I said I'm going to be a steampunk prince.
Okay.
She does not want me to participate, but I'm going to anyway because I like to embarrass her. My son is going as a witch doctor. With a snake, he's charming. And then, I don't know, my youngest is probably going to be a soccer player because I think that's what he dresses up as most of the time anyway.
Very nice. Well,
how about you, Dave?
Good tidings to you. I'll put on a hat or whatever.
Your kids.
No, I was just saying that I'm in on that. I don't indulge that as much because they don't really care if I'm embarrassing them or not. They're used to it. But it's interesting that you said steampunk princess. Because this is a 21st century phenomenon where it's not enough, like when we were growing up, you go into the store, you go into the Five and Dime or whatever. Five and Dime.
How old are you? Jeez.
I told you it was the early
74
60s.
Years young.
Five and Dime. Thanks, Brian Adams. Bought it at the Five and Dime.
Hot reference. But you used to go in and you'd get the Batman outfit, the like half of Batman's body, just the front.
Plastic.
Head. You know,
string.
None of us, it never occurred to any of us to be narcissistic enough to customize it to our liking. But kids now, they do that. My daughter's going to be she's a pumpkin princess.
Right.
And then the little boy is going to be.
This is going to take a long time. Dave's got a lot of kids.
No, he's got.
Sit back and enjoy.
I'm not going to, I mean, we don't have time.
Not all the kids.
I'm just going with the
youngest.
We
don't have time for that.
And then, and then we got a ghost vampire.
Not acceptable.
Or a ghost vampire.
I'm picking my battles. I just walked out of the room instead of debating him on.
That's
on
ridiculous.
The yeah, that's absurd. 5 year old. Now,
you know what you should do?
What's that?
Paint half your face with the Steeler logo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the other half with a skull. I think that would look really cool.
And then cry.
Poor sap in the stadium
single
on Monday
tier.
Night. Things turned out for him.
They did.
Let's ask the annual question here as a part of the food block.
Who's laughing now? The guy with the painted face.
Right, exactly.
You guys were making fun of me earlier, but I'm laughing now.
Now I'm the kingpin of Pittsburgh. Let's revisit our annual question. The candy flavor, the fruit candy flavor, that best mimics the fruit it's intended to represent, and the one that does it the worst. Matt Money Smith, I start with you.
Best watermelon.
Watermelon tastes the most like
watermelon. Watermelon Jolly Rancher to me is the most like watermelon.
Okay. It's a pretty strong answer.
Least is, I mean, it's hard. I don't know what sour apple's supposed to taste like, but I don't think it's that.
Oh, see, and I was going sour apple is the best.
Really?
Like, if you get a truly sour apple, like one
you
way you bite it,
and
you're
like,
ooh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, but it might, there's a, there,
it's
that's
not
a
apple.
Different category.
At least they're being specific
right.
about
it is a little sour
apple.
But it does, yeah, like to me it doesn't taste, like grape doesn't taste like grape
well,
really either.
That's the correct answer.
Yeah.
The one that tastes the least like. The fascinating thing about grape candy is, it doesn't taste like grape at all. It tastes nothing like grapes, red, green, or
eventually
otherwise.
Eventually we were going to get to where he wanted to go.
Exactly.
I'm glad you brought this up.
How many Halloweens have you been with Dave?
I have a feeling that this would have come up one way or the other.
Yes, I feeling too.
That's my
like the Steelers.
We're
like
just spitballing. We're like, yeah, you know what? Maybe here's the thing about you know what?
The fascinating thing.
I've never thought about this before, but now that you mention it,
Bill Cosby. That's a great business.
Powerhouse comparison. I appreciate that.
How about I'm not Bill Cosby in 2019? How about that?
But here's what fascinates me about grape candy flavor.
Yes.
It doesn't taste anything like any actual grape, and yet all grape candy tastes exactly the same. Who signed off on that being the flavor? And everybody universally 50 years ago or beyond said, all right, yeah, we'll all roll it. Just send us the recipe. We'll all sign off on this. Eddie Spaghetti, what's your answer to this powerhouse question?
You know, what upsets me sometimes is like raspberry doesn't taste like
blue raspberry.
Yeah, it's always like it's way more sweeter. Like any kind of berry is usually more bitter-ish. Mm. Like this doesn't have it, so I would say that. I'm orange, I think, is usually pretty good. I like orange-flavored stuff, orange or lemon.
Yeah, there's something. Yeah, orange has range. There's different representations of orange fruit flavor.
I'll tell you what doesn't taste anything like what it's called. Those damn circus peanuts. It's anything like peanuts.
Yeah,
or like a circus.
You're not going to beat that.
Circus.
Yeah. I mean, that is in hindsight. Yes. That was an attack on us as children. We didn't know any better. We figured we had to.
What is this?
Would I want an orange peanut shaped marshmallow?
Right. I don't quite know what. And you bite into it and you're confused. It's not quite as soft as a marshmallow. It's not really sweet. It's just
not a
kind of
got
texture. Spaghetti. Not a peanut.
Spaghetti actually brought up something else I've never considered until this very moment that I'd like to point out once again.
Let's go.
The world of produce, especially fruit, has a lot of reds. Lot of reds, more reds represented than just about any color out there. So somebody figured out, we have too many red candies here. There's strawberry, there's watermelon, there's cherry, and there's raspberry. Somebody's got to get the short straw here.
Right.
Raspberry volunteers and says, all right, I'll do it. And now again, universally, every candy you get that's raspberry flavored is blue raspberry. Why
you
blue
never
raspberry?
Thought of this before?
I mean, now that he mentions it,
sure I've heard this somewhere.
No, that couldn't be. Impossible. You dreamt it. All right.
What's the most underrated candy? Most underrated candy. Well, I'm talking mainstream, like bar. I don't want some. Oh yeah, the
candy
the
brand
cosmic dust or something.
The flavor,
I want something mainstream.
The most underrated
not
flavor.
Flavor. Not flavor.
Not flavor.
Not candy.
Jolly Rancher Peach was the greatest flavor. And I mentioned that previously, and Jolly Rancher got wind of it, and then they tweeted at me, sorry that we discontinued it. It wasn't selling
Nobody
very well.
It.
and we've replaced it, though. You got to try our grape. And then
that's what
then
led
they found
into
out.
Maybe that's what spurred me thinking this way in the first place. Anyway, Matt Money Smith, answer your own question.
Payday.
Payday?
Love the Payday bar.
I always felt that those were candy bars for grown-ups when I was growing up.
Maybe they are. Maybe my palate's become refined.
Like a Score bar. Score is also one.
Score with the toffee.
Yeah, nobody wants
that. Also a great candy bar. I love the Payday.
Handsome?
I mean, I don't like any American candy. I'm sorry if any of you guys are upset by this, but your candy is trash.
I'm with you, actually. Your candy is fantastic.
It's much better.
Oh, it's amazing.
So I'm going to go for British viewers / listeners, a finger of fudge. Which is a small fudge-covered chocolate stick, 10 pence. That it's now risen to maybe 12 or 15 pence in the store. You can't beat it.
Pence.
Underrated.
Pence. Spaghetti.
Dave, furious about different currency.
Man's got to stand for something, Hanson. Yep.
I like 100 grand Hershey's plain with almonds, and I like Whoppers. I feel like those don't get enough love.
Well, you just said it was a Hershey plain with almonds.
Like a
Hershey bar with almonds. Yeah.
Hershey with almonds. Yeah, that's a good
underrated. I'd say 100 grand is regularly cited by people as their favorite.
It's so
a lot
good,
of people
yeah.
come 100 grand.
Is that the one with the gooey caramel? Yeah.
Yes, in the middle, and then the crisp chocolate around.
Yeah, it's like that
with the rice
good.
Crisps in it. It's good. You just can't eat too many. You have one, and you're like, ew, boy, that was a lot.
I can eat a lot of them.
I see.
Have you met Eddie?
Yes, good boy.
My pro tip is avoid the milk chocolate in general. Just go dark. That's the way to do it.
Speaking of old man, turn up
the percentage on it too. Some people
it's good for blood flow.
60, My doctor advised me that
yes, I know
the right amount of chocolate.
Right.
I will. I'll
I guess
go with,
when rationing was around as
you
well.
You know what are pretty exactly. good?
Right.
You know
there what was only powdered still? Milk.
Nerds. Nerds are pretty good.
Mm, too hard.
And I like Spree, but well, I'll tell
you.
Chewy
Spree.
You know what? You know who doesn't get enough credit? Starburst.
That's where I would
good
go.
Call.
Starburst.
Sorry, you've got a bit.
I just want a little history. Little history lesson.
Sorry, you have a bit.
Starburst came out when I was a kid. They hit the market and they made a splash like Patrick mm-hmm. Mahomes in 2018. And they're just four flavors, like the Beatles. They're nothing extraneous. No keyboard player.
Go on.
We can handle it. They come out. They go. We're gonna go with a strawberry.
Yep.
We're gonna go with an orange. Mm-hmm. We're gonna go with a lemon.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna go with a lime. And
yep.
like I say, society was floored by the deliciousness. But and this is a great message for the kids out there. Push the envelope. The Starburst scientists say, this is good. Can we do better? They said we can. What do we need? Lemon and lime. Redundant. Let's get rid of lime. And they replace lime with cherry. And they give the strawberry red wrapper to the cherry, and they make strawberry pink, thereby improving Starburst. A message for society.
How about that?
Good enough ain't good enough.
Did they? So
I enjoyed that.
Starburst in the UK were called Opal Fruits for some time.
That's
and then
a
they
stupid
who do you think
name.
You are to rebrand our brand?
No. They decided that should be the case, and then they, like a Snickers bar, was called a Marathon in the UK, and then transitioned back over to Snickers. But in the UK, they also now you get tropical flavored Starburst.
Sure.
Can you get those here? You get
yeah, we
there's
do.
Different varieties.
We get them all.
Different strands.
Spinoffs.
Good.
Spinoffs. Hey, what's the name of the honeycomb?
The crunchy.
Yeah.
No,
that's
better than
underrated.
Crunchy. I'll get you one.
Please.
I know where I can get one from within half a mile of this
Please.
Location. I'm gonna bring you a
How
one.
Different can the UK be than
I'm
America that they have to that marketing people sit around and decide it won't do to go with Starburst. We need to go with Opal. Yes, that will suit our population.
Yeah. That's exactly how it goes.
Is that how
yeah,
it goes?
Yeah, that's it. That was it. You were,
that's
you, that was great.
Hey, should we get to it now?
Already?
We'll
sure.
close up the bottom.
Right, let's go.
Well, how are we doing on time there, Spaghetti and Bartlett?
Yeah, it's about that
time. Like 36.
Eddie always gives us these.
All right, you know what? You know what? Spaghetti, I know what you want to do. Fine. Use your noodle.
It's time for you to use your noodle. Yeah.
Eddie's completely unprepared for
no,
this.
No, I have one, as always.
Really? Eddie always has
a
use your noodle question
it's,
for
us.
Here we go, our sports trivia game. Use
right.
your noodle.
So there's 30 names here, and it's the all-time list.
Wait, by the way, I want to interrupt for the people that are looking at the video of this, and if you're just watching it on audio, I encourage you to go to NFL.com/DDFP, and you can enjoy the full video of this show. Eddie Spaghetti, such a celebrity at this point that he is his own
got his own action figure.
It's pretty nice. Yeah.
Hold on, hold it up. Hold it up. Can we zoom in on the action figure while I read one of Eddie's tweets from yesterday?
Oh,
and
that
I
was
want
a
you
good
to,
one.
I want you to move the guy like he's really angry, like maybe flex out, get some swole going in that bicep, like he's shaking his fist at the camera. All right, Eddie, here we go. Ready?
Yeah, I got it.
If Jamal Adams goes to the Cowboys, I'm gonna drink poison. There we go.
I'm very lucky that he is still a member of the Jets.
I don't understand. That was an absurd situation. I don't understand the idea that, hey, we'll trade known entities for draft picks that are going to be 60-40 coin flip kind of guys that may work out
right.
and they may not. Why would you purge Jamal Adams when you know, well, now that's a good,
that, works.
That position yeah,
he's
we're in.
He's a right. young, very good player yeah. that is part of our future for the next,
then,
I don't know, decade.
How does that become anything more than Jamal Adams, either with the new trend of players being able to force their way out of teams, go, wow, the Cowboys are really interested in me, and I think I get a lot of money from them. I should be pushing for that yeah. next offseason, or going, when I become a free agent, I know whose door I'm knocking on.
It's a new world
how
order.
How is that not a...
Levy and Bell and beyond. Yes, you now, I mean, it is... All but a given that
right.
that's going to go
I mean,
that way. Right?
I guess the
unless
one,
they blow out Adam right. Gase.
Well, the one positive
which
thing is
anyway.
They have Adam Gase, who's really good at cementing relationships
certainly
with his players.
Very good he's, together locker knows, room.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what you get when
he
you
knows
hire him
how
as
to
head
pull
coach.
Things back.
Really does
from that position.
His cornerstone guys. Yeah, I think we overpaid to get Le'Veon Bell. I wish we wouldn't have made that deal. And I think we should look around on Jamal Adams or field to call him. We'll make that note.
I didn't want Sam Darnold. If I'd had the opportunity to draft him, I'd have drafted someone else. Okay, good.
Is that right?
Everyone's happy.
Don't worry, Jets fans. I think you only probably have another half.
Leonard Williams, yet. Who needs him?
Crazy. That was a crazy trade for both sides. All right, Spaghetti, use your noodle. The question today is?
The question of today is, it's a list of 30 names of the most amount of rushing yards in a running back's final season.
What?
What the
you
hell?
You make me do it. You
I
said
don't
no
even
coach
know what that means.
The
Explain
final
what that
okay,
season.
Okay, so the most amount of like
I get it.
A running back who retired or has, you know, stopped playing is the list of the top amount of rushing yards they had all the way to, like it's a top 30 all time.
Wait, well, I okay. still don't understand.
In their final
the
year,
final season,
the most single season rushing yards by a running back in that running back's final year.
Oh boy. All right.
All right.
I'll start.
No. Handsome Hank is the reigning champ.
He doesn't get it. I'm going
to
say it.
He's going
to I get it now.
Okay.
Ready? Barry Sanders.
Correct.
Dang, that was the one I was going to
say. The most rushing
because he retired suddenly, so you know in his final year he had a ton of yards and is in the top 30s. Like,
okay.
Why is this so
complicated? I kind of get it. It's just a weird question.
It is a weird
question. He's number four all time.
Okay.
Really?
This is ever.
Ever.
There's a lot of running backs.
There's a lot of running backs. Why don't I just throw out Eric Dickerson?
He tailed off considerably
down
the stretch.
I don't see already out. I don't see his name on the list. So
this is an unofficial one.
I'm going to take the low-hanging fruit here. I'm going to go with Jim Brown.
Yeah.
Retired after his ninth season at the height of his powers.
Jim Brown was number two.
I'm going to go Jerome Bettis.
Let me see. He didn't have a massive final year.
Right, but did play all the games, was the center of that
offense.
Fast Willie
was getting more touches by the end of it.
Don't think I see a Bettis on here either.
No, that's a stupid question.
This is a dumb game.
All right, Dave, just give me one more and you're the winner.
I'm going to go with, this is a deeper dive.
Just say it. We're
both out. Just say it.
Barry Foster.
I really hope
if Barry Foster is on the list,
Barry Foster
it's
is on the
dumbest.
List.
This is the dumbest.
Why is that a dumb question? Damashek's the victor. I've done it again.
Barry Foster.
He's in the list.
He says Eric Dickerson. I say, and you come with.
We're not naming.
I go Jerome Bettis, two Hall of Famers, and you go Barry Foster.
The assignment this week was not to see if you could name the most famous running backs in history. It was the.
It might as well have been. I don't
Raymond
even.
Raymond Harris.
I still don't understand the question.
Like it just. It's like come on.
Barry Foster had 800.
Here's
another
one.
More of the names on
this. I'll give you another one.
List.
Corey Dillon would be on that list.
Correct.
I was going to go Corey Dillon.
How about
Martin.
Lawrence Maroney? Did he make it?
I had Curtis Martin written down.
I see Curtis Martin. Maroney, I don't see. Martin is wrong with the list.
How about Walter Payton? Because he retired to buy that team in St. Louis and got hoodwinked.
No, I don't see Walter Payton.
I will go with
dumb
Larry.
List. What else you got?
How about this? Larry Zonka?
Yes.
Well, I mean, that's the list. This is lining up perfectly for me. While you guys bellyache, I'm dominating.
Stupid list.
This is dumb.
Want me to run through it?
I'll give you one more.
This is live,
here's another one. Terrell Davis, the Hall of Famer. We work with him after all.
He's on the list.
I mean, you know, I could just keep going, but I don't want to belabor it.
Exactly.
My dominance is complete.
Well,
let's get to it now.
Congratulations. You win, Dave.
Place the crown upon your head in the kingdom of most rushing yards in their final season. And about running back.
Right. But
we are simply court
but
jesters.
No,
in your
don't
kingdom.
Have a quiz about coaches. Who cares about coaches? Coaches don't matter.
Do you see Spaghetti? Why it shouldn't I have
running
a parade?
That
was pretty that was a pretty solid performance.
Careful, Dave.
Me.
Remember what happened when we threw you a parade?
I'm going to push it.
All upset about that as well.
I got it right, too.
Barry
Foster. I'll give you one more. I'm going to take one more. I reeled off a bunch, but just to stay.
I'll tell you what. We will give you. Has he said the number one name on the list?
No, actually.
So if you can get the number one name, this will count. Otherwise, none of this counts.
Well, I mean, I reject that. I reject that.
No, you can't reject that. Those are the rules. Those are the rules.
It's made up.
This conversation is just dust in the wind. All it is dust in the wind if you don't get it.
I'm going to go with one Otis Anderson. Not for number one, but just to get that name out there.
He's not on the list.
Freeman McNeil.
This is a waste of time.
That worked out well.
Freeman McNeil is not on the list either.
Should we move on from this to something more interesting?
All right, that's it. Who's number one, though? LaDainian.
No. 1,662 yards on the 2006 Giants team, Tiki Barber. Number one.
Now you can you can analyze this backwards out how that one came up. Eddie Spaghetti, the Giants. Tiki wasn't around for the Lombardis, but he still deserves our respect. Number one all time on his way out the door. He never fumbled once he figured out how to hold it right. All right, here, let's get to it. It's time for the Week 9 Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Red Challenge Flag Picks! Woo!
That's
the best of the season so far. We're 9 weeks in, and that was fantastic.
It felt good for me. All right, Week 9, we're past the halfway point, or I guess right at the halfway point here.
A big week for you last week. You said it would be the easiest week of the year, and you were perfect.
And you got them all right.
Well done.
Andrew Raby managed to count them up, and you were correct.
Why does Handsome Hank, his countryman, I don't understand why he...
take shots at Andrew.
That's not taking
a shot. I'm not taking a shot. Raby, our guy, takes the time out of his busy life to track the Red Challenge Flag
Picks. For which I thanked him last week, and I will today again. Andrew, if you're listening... Thank you for tracking.
Maybe I was reading tone, but I felt it was mocking.
It was not.
And he took a shot at me in his tweet, too, by the way. So, Andrew, he's like, I'm still under 500, which I am. 20 and a half and 21. You don't have to point that out.
Well, that's quite poor.
But, you know.
It's remarkable.
Out of deference to you, we did not pick the Chargers this week.
He gave me a half, I believe. I believe I got a half point for the Chargers.
Well, just for not picking it.
Well, for knowing that I have to pick them if you're going to pick that game. I can't pick against them, so he gives me a half anytime they win, which I appreciate.
I'm not going to be floored if the Chargers beat the Packers this weekend. This is time. This is when Phil Rivers does his thing. You know better than I, Money.
I'd feel a lot better if Derwin James were healthy.
I agree with that, but I do think
around out there if it were Derwin chasing him around, not Roderick Teamer.
But I hear you. But the recipe for success coming into the season, yes, Phil Rivers and the pass catchers and everything else, but it remains Bosa and Ingram. And if they keep that going, and especially
Bosa's
with banged up tackles for the Packers, I think that it kind of lines up that they could harass Aaron Rodgers at least.
Oh yeah, Bosa is a very large human being, and if he's hitting you, I think he had 4 quarterback hits, he had 3 tackles for loss, 2 sacks. That seed can get planted.
Off the top
could be
of your
a real
head.
Fly in the ointment on the way to 4 touchdown passes.
Sure could
and
be.
A victory.
Well, sure I don't think Devontae Adams is making it back. I think he's out there trying to get back, but I don't think he's going to be out there. That's got to catch up with him at some point that he's throwing it to a bunch of free agents, Aaron Rodgers.
Seems to make it work.
And, again, the Chargers have no wiggle room. Phil Rivers seems to have a command of that sort of thing.
The last 2 weeks, you got to remember, they were facing 2 teams that have no pass rush, like none. I mean, the Raiders have nothing. Yeah. And the Chiefs, with all of their injuries, are down to darn near nothing. So, I mean, it's easy to do when you're not getting heated up at all. It will be interesting because that is the one thing the Chargers have done pretty darn well all season. They haven't done a lot of things well. Actually, they've done very little well. But Bosa's been fantastic with or without Ingram. And I think when you saw Ingram come back, the way they moved those two around that defensive line against the Bears. I mean, there were a number of times where Ingram's on the inside of Bosa on the outside, and they're running stunts and twists, and it was just a mess for the Bears. Now, granted, the Packers' offensive line's a lot better than the Bears' offensive line.
Handsome, can you recall any rookie defensive player? Obviously, many have splashed over the years, but just physically dominating grown men the way Nick Bosa has been. It's crazy how he's just trucking
from the get-go.
Out.
I think Julius Peppers in his
that's
first
the first
season
one that pops
was
into
the
my
one
head.
That, Peppers yeah,
was
the
a
only
monster
comparison.
That first season.
And Javon Curse came in.
Those are great calls.
Immediately.
Yep.
It's
remarkable
Bosa's
to watch what Bosa's
Nick
doing.
Nick Bosa's ridiculous.
It's right.
Ridiculous.
Joey, brothers are usually nice and also competitive at the same time. I did ask Joey if he wants Nick to be good but not as good as him. He said it's too late. He's already already going to end up being better than I am. But, yes, it's remarkable stuff. And, by the way, go ahead and double-team him all you want. The rest of that defensive front will love it in San Francisco. All right.
Eddie, next time can we do a list of rookie pass rushers that came in and dominated in their first season?
Handsome might get back on
that
the
one.
I might have won that
back
one.
In the winner's circle. All right, here we go. It's an AFC South special. If you're only paying attention to what's happened in the first half of the season, this will be an easy pick for you. It's the Texans at the Jaguars.
In London, England.
London, England. Handsome Hank, in honor of your land being the host of it, choose.
First of all, Dave, I want to say that all the people, I've meant to say this on the show last time I was here, all the people who I saw in London were like, when is Dave, when are money coming to London? We want to see these guys. So all of those UK fans who've been to all the games, go out and let's make lots of noise.
We'll give them ovals if they come.
Ovals?
That's what they call the Starburst.
It's opals.
Remember? Opals.
Opal fruits.
I'm not from England. That language doesn't.
But it's
speak
not
to
called
me.
That anymore. I mean, no. That, you weren't, clearly weren't listening.
Look at Handsome in his.
I got the Union Jack socks on as well.
Very nice. Go ahead. That feels a little vaguely unpatriotic to wear those on your feet, but okay.
That's a good point. But my feet are well kept. The Texans will win this game.
You know what?
Really?
I love Deshaun Watson. I love that offense in general. I think they really, really, I think of all the teams that are on the right side of the win-loss standings right now, of all the teams that should have made a deal here, save perhaps the Chiefs, and they realistically wouldn't have gotten Derek Wolfe from the Broncos. I think the Texans should have tried to get Derek Wolfe. I know they don't have much to give away.
They've given away everything.
Everything's gone.
But I mean, Chris Harris there would have made all the sense in the world. Again, for personnel, whether or not they had anything that would intrigue Denver is another matter. But I think that as good as this offense is, people are a little bit glib about, including Booger McFarland, if you count Monday Night Football, saying, oh, it doesn't matter that J.J. Watt's out because what Deshaun's doing, he's having MVP season. That team's going to keep on rolling. You sure? In a defense-dominant division, you don't have to have your best defensive player in J.J. Watt. I think that now every game now, to win, they're going to have to shoot it out every time.
But I do think there's something about having experience of not having J.J. Watt. Like, this is something that's happened for the last 3-4 seasons where they've had to play a long stretch of games without him. So, you know, maybe they know how to win without J.J. Watt on the field. I get it doesn't necessarily mean that they have the piece to replace him, but at least they know that they can do it without him there.
Yeah, to me, I think if you take the Jaguars, I think perhaps you're just suffering a little bit of recency bias, because if you just think about Minshew versus teams with really good defenses versus Minshew against the Jets, it's two distinctly different quarterbacks. So, you know, not that, like you said, I certainly think they should have done something and picked up a piece for that defensive line. At the same time, as good as, and that Jacksonville defense is good. That defensive front, even without Jalen Ramsey, can really get to you in a hurry. I have a tough time believing that Minshew is going to out-duel Deshaun Watson in what probably is going to be a tight game, just because of how good that Jacksonville defense has been playing. I would just be apt to lean. By the way, you know, you're talking Nuke Hopkins, Deshaun Watson, like Darren Fells has become a big weapon in that passing attack now. When you start going through the Jaguars' offense, it's kind of like, okay, you can do that against the Jets, but, you know.
My response to that would be Fournette.
You can take the air out of the ball and lean on a run game, and obviously he and Shark have got a pretty special chemistry going, but, I find it tough to believe that they're going to be able to beat teams.
When go ahead.
I was going to say, I think they can knock off teams. I think they are the best of those middling teams. Like, I could see them beating the Titans on the road. I could see them, you know, against a Charger team if they're not healthy, winning in Jacksonville. But to me, it's kind of like these are the games where you go from being a 10-6 team to an 8-8
right.
team.
I do think there is something to the Jags having London experience. Like, that's a team, obviously, that goes there every year. And so there is something money traveled with a team to London. There is definitely something to knowing what to expect when you get there, knowing, you know, having had experience of what it's like to play when you're probably somewhat jet-lagged, etc. So, you know, the Texans have never been to London before. This will be their first time ever doing it as a club. So that experience versus...
UK fans tend to vibe to stars, not to teams, right? Or will it feel like 70-30 Jags?
The Jags have definitely built a fan base in London because of their sustained presence there. So they'll have a lot of fans in the stadium. But definitely the Texans being there, and the fact it's the first time the Texans have been, and there are obviously a bunch of Texans fans in London.
Watt
I think
fans,
having
Deshaun
J.J.
Watson
Watt
fans.
There would have been, would yeah. probably have swayed a lot of the non-Jags fans to go for the Texans, but Who knows?
Well, it's interesting that these two teams have played a bunch of good games over the last couple of years. Maybe the head-to-head matchup of Nuke Hopkins versus Jalen Ramsey. You talk about plucking a big-name defensive guy out of the defensive side. Ramsey's absence, maybe Nuke Hopkins will dominate this one. But I'm going to take the Jags, like I say, on that hunch. And by the way, the other thing that they should have traded for, because it couldn't have cost much. First of all, Leonard Williams is sitting there. Why not go get Leonard Williams as a rental this year if you're the Texans? And by the way, the other guy who wouldn't have cost them much, I don't think, would be Melvin Gordon. That would be a massive upgrade from Carlos Hyde if you throw him that back there behind.
I like Carlos. I don't know.
Hyde's been having he's had a good year. Fine. Melvin's has not. Melvin's had one run, really, so far. I mean, it was an awesome run last week against
run.
The Bears. That's what
sure.
reminds you of, oh, yeah, that guy is special. But it's the first time we've seen anything like
it. All right, here we go. A Super Bowl IV redo. By the way, it's 51 years now since the Chiefs have been to a Super Bowl. It's crazy since Lenny Dawson and company vanquished the NFL's Vikings in New Orleans in that game. This time around, it's in Arrowhead, like we say. Three losses already for KC is crazy. And yet they are seem to be prohibitively the team to beat in that division. Vikes, Chiefs, choose Matt Money Smith.
Oh, man, I don't like this one at all. I do not like this. I will take... Pat Mahomes isn't playing. I'll take the Vikings.
I reluctantly have to agree. You're not going to throw it.
I don't think they're going to matriculate.
Now, can we, for Ravy's sake, if Mahomes ends up playing, can we throw this out? Because I think we would.
He's not going to play.
Okay.
So that's fine.
100% not going to play.
I don't know that. I didn't say that.
Because we would all take the Chiefs if Mahomes were playing, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's put that.
I would like to see them. I would like to see them once shut down another team that can kill you on
that
the ground.
The defense. I mean, the Vikings offense is potent, like
yes,
you were saying, and the Chiefs defense has not shown many signs of slowing anyone down.
I'll take the Vikings.
I hate to say it, Bartlett's over there behind the control table. I mean, I don't know how excited you can be about the Chiefs. I mean, you got to depend on 15 to be the best, one of the best quarterbacks in the history of football, and just overcome Dan Marino style. And Dan Marino couldn't do it two generations ago. Why Patrick Mahomes is it's going to result in something different? I don't know. It just seems foolish that they haven't done anything.
Well, I think it's because, you know, Pat gets to do it with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce,
right?
And not Clayton and Duper.
And no running game.
Yeah, I mean it's
and a Don Shula sadly somewhat passed it.
Right. So, I think that's the difference.
I think that's your hottest take every time he brings it up is that Don Shula's overrated. That's what longtime Dolphins fan likes to say is that he held back Marino from winning a Lombardi or three.
It's proven.
Perhaps he did.
Don't have any.
So we're all going with the road team in this one. The fourth loss in Arrowhead. Spaghetti, who'd you have in Texas?
Do you know that road teams have won more games this season than home teams?
I've been waiting for that to happen. Why home field advantage matters in the NFL.
That's
baseball, which has different dimensions and everything, is one thing. And I guess dome versus outside and cold versus warm and everything. But still, how can it be that big a swing? You're playing in by the same dimensions.
I like the dimensions part.
I like when the end zone is painted our team's colors. That helps me win games. It makes no sense.
When people shout my name, I feel happy.
Right.
Oh, but the people weren't cheering me, so I didn't have that burst of energy when I needed it. Weird. Spaghetti, first of all, who'd you have in Texans Jags?
I didn't throw it, so I'm going with Texans.
All right. You take the next one here.
Dave, that's how this works.
Yeah.
The subtext of what Eddie said is, you idiot, Dave. Fair. I would have thrown a flag if I disagreed.
And he didn't throw a flag for Vikings. So
didn't throw it either, I'm with the money clause. If Mahomes somehow plays, I think Andrew Raby should all give us a
Andrew, if you wouldn't mind doing that would be great. Thank you.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
This potentially, if they wear the wrong jerseys, could be a technicolor nightmare to look at this game. Two SEC country teams. It's the Titans. It's the Panthers in Charlotte, North Carolina, which I guess is technically
not
ACC.
ACC country.
Right. But anyhow, you get it. Southern college football. Here we go, Spaghetti. Titans, Panthers, choose.
I know I was massively wrong last week with the Panthers 49ers game, but I'm going back to the Panthers. I'm going to pick them at home. I know you like the Titans, Dave. You picked them as your sixth seed, but they still have an MVP candidate. I think Kyle Allen is. Not playing, the awesome 49ers defense this week, and I think just they have enough firepower to overcome whatever the Titans could do with 10.
You done with your monologue yet? Yeah. Bang!
All three of us
are taking the Titans on
Tannehill?
The road.
Yeah. Tannehill?
Tannehill.
He's played all right.
Why?
Tannehill's playing better than Mariota.
He's playing better than Kyle Allen.
I agree with that.
I don't think so. I would take Kyle.
I 100% yeah, think he is.
Ryan Tannehill.
But if all things equal, the Panthers' offense is better than.
But they're not equal. Kyle Allen is like a hanger-on, barely NFL-level talent, whereas Ryan Tannehill's pedigree at least got him a first-round pick. Not to say some of those guys, a lot of those guys don't bust, but Ryan Tannehill, his history in Miami is wonky. And he had some decent runs there when he was under center. He vanquished Tom Brady a fair amount, more than any other human being.
Seems like now, looking back on it, potentially Adam Gase was the problem rather than the solution for Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, the offensive line has not been great. They got some serious guard issues. Taylor Lewan's not the same guy he was a year or two ago, and that's where Tannehill comes in. He makes quick decisions. He gets rid of the ball. Mariota was hanging on to it too long, and I think that probably got the Titans' offense dinged a little bit more than it should have. It's a great running game with Derrick Henry. You know, I think Corey Davis, when you see those receivers,
that's right.
Davis, Brown, they are gigantic.
Yes.
And Derrick Henry is gigantic. Like, if they had a legitimate offensive line, that team would be a nightmare because their defensive front is scary.
I get where you're coming from. I defer to anybody who is expert about offensive line play. I always say I don't attempt to analyze individual 300-pound men and how they lean up on other large human beings. Who does it effectively? Taylor Lewan should be better. Because he hasn't been good after missing the month isn't an indication to me. I mean, he's too young to. The wheels are just off. It's over for him.
You know, I don't know. Something ain't right. Something's not the same with that guy that once was there. Is not there right now for whatever reason. You know, I mean, my analysis is totally biased. It's centered really around one particular game, and I just watched. A, they attacked the right tackle, and B, they did not seem to have an issue, the Chargers being the they. I mean, Bosa had two sacks. Chenna Nwosu had that fumble that he forced, and they were repeatedly in Tannehill's lap that whole game, and that was without Melvin Ingram, and down both of their starting defensive tackles. The other thing about the Titans I'll mention, Jeffrey Simmons is a freaking nuts.
That was the other thing.
Nuts.
They are built. Nuts. They're built. And again, I'll defer to you on the offensive line, but it seems to me that they are gigantic. And the whole premise of what they were trying to build is now been achieved. The defensive front for the Titans and the offensive line potentially with Derrick Henry, who emerges consistently in the second halves of NFL seasons. To me, this with those pass catchers and the asterisk that goes next to all that, they should have lost to the Buccaneers, and yet they are a mysterious team.
Should have lost to the Chargers.
I think I think they're going to wind up getting the sixth seed in the AFC.
I think they definitely could do.
I wouldn't be surprised if they lost to the Dolphins either. They lose games that they shouldn't, they win games that they shouldn't.
I don't think they play each other.
I don't think they do either, but I'm saying that no result surprises me when the Titans are involved because, and this is a game that you would see on paper and think, well, Panthers at home, you know, they'll be able to handle this. Anyhow, moving along.
That's what Eddie did. In fact,
exactly right. It's a lazy pick. Eddie.
He's only had one truly awful game, and it's versus the 49ers. He's beaten the Texans.
He's fine.
Beaten the Jags.
He's fine.
Like, I mean, he can handle the AFC South.
It's fine.
It's a fine.
Eddie, that's the pick. If I hadn't done any research, I would have made that as well.
All right, next. You're making mini spaghetti mad.
Uh-oh.
Look, he's shaking with
Did you see what Danny Dimes was tossing out there this past week? We might not have got the win, but I felt good watching it.
By the way, we were talking about him, so I'm not trying to embarrass you, Spaghetti, I am a little bit. I thought this was a weird opinion. People hit us up after the show about this. Spaghetti asserted that your offensive rookie of the year at this point may well be Danny Dimes. And I said, well, what about Gardner Minshew? He'd have to be at him. He said, no, Dimes has the superior stats, which as people have hipped us to.
If you prorate what's going on, I said no. I said that the Giants are playing. They get the Jets.
He has better prorated stats.
They get the Jets. They get the Redskins. They get the Dolphins. Like, I think if you look at the matchups.
Look at turnovers, right? I mean, Danny Dimes is fumbling the ball at an alarming rate.
Fumble, yeah, I get it. That's true.
You know, and Minshew's actually, like, that's the thing about Minshew is he's winning games.
Sure.
Like, they are winning games, not, you know, like you said with Kyle Allen. you know, they're bringing him along. Like, Minshew is going out there and winning games late in the game, throwing game-winning touchdowns. Yep. And I think that's, you know, what I would – I think that would definitely get him the nod over Daniel Jones as far as a rookie of the year goes. If they, you know, if the Giants end up with 5 wins and the Jags end up with 9.
That's the point that I make. That's the way they'll vote, yes. They're front runners, the voters tend to be. And the other thing I'll pretentiously cite, Warren Sapp said this endlessly, and I will attempt to quote him, which is defensive coordinators will adjust if you give them film on these QBs. And the difference that many guys will tell you is that guys who have the talent to be backups in the NFL long term have one gear. Once a defense figures that out, these are his tendencies, we'll now take those away.
Right.
Now adjust to that QB. My bag of tricks is out there now. The great ones adjust and they take what else is out there.
And if the Chiefs continue to fall apart and somehow the Raiders win that division, I think it'd be a lock that Josh Jacobs is your rookie of the year anyway.
That's a good one too.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
Now let's go to Heinz Field, Three Rivers.
We're discussing the Steelers today, Dave.
Well, we're going to pick it. It's an important game at this point. That's not an important game.
I'm kind of surprised to see it on here.
If the Steelers were to win this game, the Steelers would be 4-4 and right there for the wild card.
If
the
Colts win it. Okay, here we go. Steelers choose.
Colts Steelers choose, Dave.
I'm reminded of Jim Harbaugh's Hail Mary. January of 96.
Yep.
I'm reminded
that game
of Troy Polamalu's interception that the official overturned in what remains, and this is not hyperbole, the single worst call in pro football history that these two eyes have ever seen, at least. Do you remember that? That
was the airing of grievances. That's why this is on.
But then Ben Roethlisberger tackled Nick Harper before he could reach the end zone, and the rest is history. To the matter at hand, Colts, Steelers, Heinz Field, choose?
Yeah, choose.
Choose.
I'm going to take the Colts.
Yeah, so are we.
Spaghetti? Okay.
Colts.
All right. I do want to say, Handsome came by my desk just before we started here, Money, and I'm interested in your thoughts on this. He said, well, Mason Rudolph isn't as good as Kyle Allen.
Hold on a second. This time last week, we sat in this room.
He is as good as those guys.
This time last week, we sat in this room, and you had a thing, which I like as well. This season is all about the backup quarterback and how these guys, and you put together your list, and it was Gardner Minshew, and it was Kyle Allen, and then you threw Mason Rudolph on the list, and Money and
I
exchanged, as we often do when you talk about the Steelers, are like, okay, let's not interrupt Dave. He's obviously got a thing here. Monday night, Mason Rudolph is not in. I mean, he's a backup quarterback who is starting for the Steelers. In that case, it's true. But he is not on the same level as any of those other backup quarterbacks.
He's not on the same level as Kyle Allen. That's your declaration.
He is worse than Kyle Allen, and he just doesn't deserve to be mentioned in the same list as Gardner Minshew.
I don't know how to debate you on that other than to say that that's not true.
If he played for any other team, you would agree with me. But because he's a Steeler, he suddenly gets elevated into this elite.
I mean, how long have you known me that you think that my sitting position is anything that Steelers is the best? I denigrate the Steelers all the time. That's absolute rubbish.
Okay.
I think that the way 2019 is unfolding at the halfway point, if you have a talented defense, an offensive line that can push people around, which are two things the Steelers have, that I don't love the in-game decisions by their head coach as it happens, but I think they're fine.
Mason Rudolph has had precious few reps. Releases the ball a second after.
I agree.
Any other quarterback who is good at their job would release the ball.
I am not saying that he is on par with Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson.
Or Gardner Minshew.
Well, I am saying that. I am saying that. Money, break that tie.
I'm not a big fan of his. He's played okay. He's not, you know, I think you make a point of, look, that defense is really good.
Yeah.
But you see what can happen if Mason just tries to kind of let it fly around in that Dolphins game, and he throws some pretty bad picks.
Mm-hmm.
He does hold on to the ball.
Yep.
He's got a very long, deliberate release.
Yep.
If you were asking me, hey, you just pluck these guys, you can now trade spots. Minshew for Mason Rudolph, if I were a Steeler fan, I'd say, can we please make that trade right now?
Right.
I will make that trade right now.
And Kyle
Give
Allen
me Gardner
as well.
Minshew for Mason. I'm not as sure about Kyle Allen just because McCaffrey's so good. And I know Fournette's very good as well. But again, I haven't quite seen Kyle Allen go out and win games like, oh, wow, they're really shutting down McCaffrey. I've got to get out here and go win this. But I've seen Minshew do it. There is something special. Look, I never thought I'd say it. I watched him at Washington State. I just, there's something about that guy, man.
I agree
there is
with you.
Something there.
I also happen to believe that the Steelers, see, now we're talking too much Steelers. I didn't want to do this. I swear I didn't. But I want, just to finish this thought, you could see, if you're somebody who pays attention to the Steelers as intensely as I do, that Deontay Johnson was about to emerge. They get their bye.
Yep.
Coming out of their bye, this is the same track as Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown, Santonio Holmes, anyone else. They have a weird knack, Kevin Colbert and company, for identifying these guys in mid-round draft picks, and they develop and they start to emerge at about the halfway point of their rookie seasons. Deontay Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster and company, that as they emerge, they will make it easier for Mason Rudolph.
All right.
I still think the Colts win, and then he's the best backup quarterback on that team.
Even
that's, I know that that's a sentiment that a lot of people sitting in those stands on Monday night would have agreed with at about the quarter mark, but I disagree. Again, I'm a pedigree snob.
Who was the AFC Offensive Player of the Week this week?
Jimmy Connor.
Oh, that's how they won that game.
That's right. I'm not debating that. I didn't say that we have to put him as a first team all
pro.
But
you do.
You
constantly want to validate Mason Rudolph as a viable quarterback.
I would like him to play well.
He's
is what
okay.
I like.
2-3 weeks ago, you were like, "Well, the Steelers can just get rid of Ben Roethlisberger. They got Mason Rudolph now, and he's going to the Buccaneers, and Mason Rudolph takes over."
You hear me, Weisenheimer?
You said, "Could you trade Ben Roethlisberger?" That was the question.
Mason Rudolph was injured, and you still wanted to do it.
What I said
was. No. We don't need to go into it anymore.
I said if Mason Rudolph pulled off a miracle and they won 7 or 8 games the rest of the way and got the double digits and made the playoffs in a miracle season at 38, coming off of elbow surgery, $30 million owed to him, the Steelers would ask around if anybody was interested. That's the way things go. All right. That's different than what you are saying. I said if that somehow happened, which I didn't say it will happen. Now, Patriots Ravens, it's appropriate you would choose this one for us, Handsome Hank, wearing your Union Jack, because of course the Patriots honor their greatest players by giving them red coats. Makes no sense. Why do the Patriots hand out red coats who we defeated
love
in
it.
The Revolution?
That's a great point.
I do. I love that point.
There, they should have
guys
put
out
game.
There with muskets on the field, literally,
right.
who I don't think it's the same
Shop
people.
The red
they might get
who
confused.
Were, exactly.
Those octogenarians that they right. have with the muskets
Boom.
Down in Foxborough
yeah.
might get confused
Led
and take
through
a
the
shot.
Heart.
Right.
Cannonball, blow your leg straight
you,
up.
You just shot Sony Michel. I didn't know what was going
Willie
on.
McGinnis,
he's wearing the red
one
coat.
Of the greatest players ever. You shot him on the sideline.
Patriots at the Ravens.
Bayoneted.
A big one. Almost as good as the U.S. versus those Brits back in the late 18th century.
That was
century.
A great game.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
You still haven't recovered.
Took wrong. The L.
I tell you what.
Took
I tell
the
you
L
what.
Hard.
That's not what Vegas thought was going to happen.
No Brexit for you.
Not.
It's time for you to choose.
You guys were looking ahead.
Yeah,
next
exactly.
Opponent.
Exactly. one game at a time.
That's right.
On to Cincinnati. I'm going to pick the Ravens.
Oh, come on. You're picking? Oh, handsome. And now
Throwing
spaghetti.
It. I'll take
it. Eddie's keeping it.
Eddie's
going to
eat it. Touchdown, Lamar Jackson, says Mini Spaghetti. Go ahead, handsome. Explain yourself.
I think that the Patriots' defense is being talked up as such a great defense, but I think all of those little tricks that we've started seeing from Harbaugh and Co. over the last few weeks with the Ravens, I think they're going to double down on that. There must have been a lot of that stuff that they've been holding back, and I don't know if Bill, you know, have they prepared for that exclusively? To exactly the point you were making at the start of the show.
I hear you.
What if they really just say, this is how we're going to try and beat the Patriots?
And they have the benefit of having 2 weeks off. They are coming off an impressive win up in Seattle. And I think probably the common wisdom is that, well, Belichick, it's all dependent on the discipline
exactly.
that the defense, they're not going to get tricked as other teams are with misdirection and everything else that they're doing pre-snap and during with all Lamar Jackson's sleight of hand and the guys he might hand the ball to. Although the Patriots, there are teams that can run on them. There's some evidence that you can make hay on against them on the ground. I think that the Patriots' I mean, they're scoring points at a crazy historic level, the defense. I just think that as, the more you get a look at it, I'm contradicting myself. We're now at the halfway point. We have enough games, if you're a defensive coordinator, let alone Bill Belichick, with the way this defense is playing, that they're going to be able to depress what the Ravens have done to this point in the year.
Just give me Bill Belichick versus Lamar Jackson.
That's all. That's it.
It's, I mean, I'm not going to – that's all it is for me. I just don't – I got to see it. I got to see Lamar Jackson do it against Belichick, and I'll believe it.
But in this case, I think that's normally what you would say about a quarterback versus Belichick's defense, but I don't think it's about Lamar Jackson. I think it's Greg Roman – coming up with a game plan that Lamar Jackson is just executing.
Yeah, but you know this.
You know what he does? He twists young quarterbacks' brains into pretzels.
And he's
how he does it, I don't know, but he does.
I think it's pretty easy to say, given the season that secondary is having in general, they're going to be able to take away Hollywood Brown. That's the threat. When Hollywood Brown goes away, then then Lamar Jackson becomes almost wholly dependent on Mark Andrews, and they'll be able to take away Mark Andrews enough. They'll just Gilmore will eliminate Hollywood Brown. And although, you know what, Tyreek Hill ran by him a few times last year. Anywho, I do not think the Patriots are running the table here. I don't think this is the game that derails the undefeated chase. Spaghetti, any thoughts?
Yeah, you actually just stole my one good point I had about the Tyreek Hill games like last year. If Hollywood, I know his status is up in the air. He was injured or dealing with an injury. Hollywood Brown, but if he's just running streaks, I think that'll be tough. Their toughest game of the year so far was versus the Bills on the road. So I think this is by far the best team the Patriots have played so far, and I'm just a Lamar Jackson believer. I think that he could not only do it with his arm, but on the ground, so I think teams rather not play mobile quarterback because they can improvise, so I'm just going to roll with the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I won't be stunned. And the other thing is, too, you watch. Now it's the time of the year again. November, by the time this game gets underway, now it'll be more and more Sony Michel. The offensive line is lousy. But Tom Brady is the wizard at identifying what to attack on any given play with the defense. So I just think he'll solve it against a mediocre
defense.
Ravens
has been
defense.
Mediocre, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, talking about November.
I'm great, don't you know? Do you want to speak for Brady before we wrap it up?
Sure, before we do, talking about November. Next time we come over to your house, would you mind warming this place up a little bit?
It's very cold.
A little chilly in here?
It's very cold.
I'll see if we can get the fireplace.
That would be great. Thanks, y'all, for all of you did that. I am so excited to be playing against the Ravens.
No one does a better Tom Brady.
Does that foretell a move for Tom Brady in 2020 to somewhere in the Southeast? Maybe he could be the Titans.
Interesting. Titans.
I don't know if he'd beat out Tannehill, but
ooh, maybe blockbuster in the offseason. Cam Newton for Tom Brady. Ooh. You know?
Now you're talking.
Who wins that one? All right, listen. I hope your team wins in Week 9. We're already winners for the good company over the last
It's a long one.
1 hour and 16 minutes.
A long one today.
Appreciate you sticking with us. I think it's time we test it, actually. Do people stick with us this long for this episode?
No.
We put it to the test, and it did well. What was
I got them to send pictures of their ears.
Oh, yes. It's time for a test mid-season. Send us pictures of their ears.
And if you watched it this long, your eyes as well.
Perfect. I love that idea.
Ears
Great
and eyes.
Thanks to Handsome Hank, Matt Money Smith, Eddie Spaghetti, everybody back there. Good luck to Bartlett's Chiefs this weekend. They're going to need it. Like I say, hope your team wins unless they're playing my team. We'll be back after Week 9 in front of Week 10 to break it all down.
Kyrie's a bust with the Nets. Book it.
I'm going to drink poison. That's Mini. Shouldn't Mini Spaghetti have a higher voice? I'm going to drink poison.
Oh, right. I gotcha.
Let's hear it. Can you achieve a high voice?
I can. I have a good falsetto.
Let's hear it.
Here we go.
Leonard Williams is going to bust it up with the Giants. Mark it here. Go Yanks in 2020.
All right. Thanks so much, football
fans. Zach Greinke's a bum.
It's been a thin slice of heaven.